Good afternoon. My name is Roman Vasilev, and I'm part of the J.P. Morgan Investment Banking team. Thanks, everyone, for coming today. It is my pleasure to introduce Jim Clemmer, President and CEO of AngioDynamics.
Jim, thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. I appreciate the invitation, the well-run conference from J.P. Morgan. Today, we're going to talk to you about our company. We're going to talk to you a little bit about results that have occurred. We'll talk to you more about our future ideas, strategies, and vision for our business. So over time, as you know, many of these are forward-looking statements. I can give you no guarantee that they'll all come true. I just want to remind you, as sophisticated investors, what you'll be hearing today: a blend of things that have occurred and a blend of things that we envision for our future. So let me jump ahead for a minute, talk to you a bit about AngioDynamics and why it's important. We're in an important phase of our business and transforming our company to a company that should deliver consistent high performance and value creation for our investors through the aspect of delivering high-quality, trusted devices and tools that deliver care and wellness in the hands of clinicians and create patient benefits and outcomes. So briefly, I joined AngioDynamics nearly 3 years ago. I've spent nearly 30 years in the med device industry. Started with a company called Sage Products. Sage is now owned by Stryker. And I spent many years at Tyco Healthcare and then Covidien, ran the medical supply segment of Covidien when we spun up until Medtronic bought Covidien in 2015. When I was recruited to join AngioDynamics, I knew of Angio by competing in the marketplace with its products. I had good familiarity with physician trust in their products and the quality of the devices that AngioDynamics had. I also wasn't sure about how well they've performed bringing innovation to market, and had they kept pace with their necessary R&D investments and necessary innovation to bring new tools to our customers and patients. So that was a question I had a couple of years ago when I was considering joining AngioDynamics. We'll show you some things we did today to bring better answers to those. But today, AngioDynamics is a company based upon two different heritages: heritages of trust and respect within the physician community. We started as really an IR company. A lot of our focus was with the interventional radiologists. And although AngioDynamics is 30 years old, founded in Queensbury, New York, in 1969, a few miles away, Philip Morris founded NAMIC, just a few miles from us. And we own the NAMIC business today. We call it Fluid Management. We bought that business as part of the Navalist acquisition in 2012. And our Fluid Management business is very well run. We reported our second quarter results Friday, and you saw really good growth in that business as it's well run. Still has great trust and respect with our physician customer partners. And you saw market-leading growth over 7% in our second quarter of 2019. So today, the AngioDynamics that we run is managed in three different GBUs. And today, our company has 11 different product categories under these three GBUs. So you can make the argument that diversity of the portfolio is a strength and enables us and allows us different opportunities to serve our customers and serve their patients in need. But it can also be a challenge to manage a portfolio that is this diverse. So looking today across our businesses, you'll see in our vascular access business, a business that competes primarily with BD Bard or Teleflex for PICC lines, ports, dialysis catheters, or midlines. We believe we have a right to win with a unique technology on our catheter called BioFlo, which uses Endexo to reduce occlusion or thrombus for the duration of a catheter dwelling inside of a patient. We believe the BioFlo technology is second to none in how it does what its purpose is. Today, we reported Friday really good growth in our VA business. Three of the four categories have shown growth throughout the course of this year. Our ports, our dialysis catheters, and our midlines have grown. Our PICCs have lost share and lost revenue for the last 5 years. We had a product recall 5 years ago for one of our ports. We still face a technology hurdle today that enables us to sell our ports to be placed in patients. Today, the business overall is healthy. We expect this business, which has market-leading technology, to really be roughly flat going forward, a balance of growth within the segments we can compete in, and yet still facing the challenges in the PICC market going forward. Our second GBU that we'll talk about today is our VIT business, Vascular Interventions and Therapies, It was formerly known as our peripheral vascular business up until June 1 of last summer when our fiscal year started. We renamed it the business. It's got four categories. The first and the largest is our fluid management category that I discussed. We're a really good provider of these fluid management custom kits for cardiac cath procedures and interventional radiologists. We're taking share, doing a good job managing the business well. It's a good business that we're in. We run it very well. Over time, this business does not require a lot of capital or other investment. It's well managed and well run, and it'll be a part of our portfolio for the foreseeable future. Our fluid management business is joined by our angiographic catheter business and our thrombus management business. Here again are legacy products, yet with unique technology that enable us to take share at a high rate. For instance, in our thrombus management space, we talked about our fifth consecutive quarter on Friday with double-digit procedure increases in our AngioVac thrombus removal product. AngioVac is a really unique technology that enables a caregiver to address some of the most severe cases of thrombus or clots, where there's really no other alternative to remove a clot as large as we can remove with AngioVac. It uses perfusion to recycle the blood in the patient's body and enables the caregiver to do things it can't do with other thrombus reduction or removal technologies. So the AngioVac technology is dynamic. It's market leading. Over time, I'll show you how we're going to adapt this technology to be more user-friendly and to be applicable in more cases. And finally, our oncology global business unit is formed by the basis of our ablation tools and technologies, where we're a market leader in thermal ablation with our radiofrequency technology and our microwave technology. And what we have that's very unique is our non-thermal approach towards ablation using our NanoKnife platform, which uses IRE, or irreversible electroporation, as the technology that allows it to be a non-thermal, as it uses low-level electrical pulses to damage cell tissue in small nano-sized particles that allow the cell to die without using heat as the destroying aspect of the cell. So we love the aspect of our NanoKnife. We want to make it more accessible, and I'll tell you in a few minutes how we'll do so to deliver care with this unique device to more patients in need. Looking on this current year, and when I joined AngioDynamics a couple years ago, we focused initially on making sure we had a good pipeline of R&D investments in our pipeline, made sure we had an R&D process that enabled us to measure the ROI for the dollars we were spending in R&D. When you've done medical technology as long as I have, you know fully that R&D is an inexact science. It'll never be perfect. But if you don't measure what you do, you won't improve your outcomes. So we have now a good measurable process. I think we invest the right amount of money in R&D, and we have a good way to make sure we'll get good ROI for our investment. We've also done a lot of work on back-end synergies. We've closed two facilities. We've brought streamlines to our global supply chain, raised our quality standards, and we've seen gross margins move up and our efficiency and effectiveness raise along the way. We've done really a lot of the house cleaning that you would expect, and we've raised the bar of how our company is being managed and run. And in the meantime, while we were doing that, we also built a vision to our future. That's what's more exciting to us. Now we have a really well-run company that can generate good amount of profit from our revenue and generate free cash flow from our profit. Today, we now know where we want to reinvest that free cash to generate value and growth creation going forward. And that's what we'll do with our portfolio optimization that we've touched upon and talked about. And I'll give you a bit more detail in the coming minutes. So when we look across the platforms that we have with our three GBUs and 11 product categories, we're going to focus on a few that we feel offer us more opportunity to create value for a few different reasons. Some of those reasons, like in thrombus management, are unique. A, because we have two great technologies today. On the lower end of acuity, we have our Unifuse catheter, which helps deliver drug to break up small, less acute clots in a vein. On the high end, we have our AngioVac product that's used to really pull out very severe or distressful clots when someone's in a distressed situation. What we're finding is that we want to play in a larger scale. There's about 1 million clots a year in the U.S. that are diagnosed. Some are arterial, some are in the venous structure. Today, if you look at the slide I have in front of you, you'll see that between Unifuse and AngioVac, we can really only focus on a small segment there. We focus very effectively, but we want to be a larger player in the other area, what we call the mid-acute space, where there are some good tools available today by other players in this marketplace. But we also believe there are technology gaps within those tools that will allow us to enter the space and allow us to get a share, capture a share of those technologies and those procedures. So we'd like to address this $600 million serviceable market that today we're very adjacent to, but we're not within. So how should we do so? Well, we'll take a look at the two products we have today. We think we serve only about a $35 million opportunity in that space. We think we capture a high percentage of share within that opportunity, but we need to expand the opportunity. So we'll do that in two ways. We have internal research and development projects that would enable both of our projects today to move slightly towards the middle. So with AngioVac, we have a new iteration coming out this coming summer that will enable the physicians to use it in a more user-friendly fashion. We think they'll apply it in more cases. It'll give them some of the tools they've asked for in the redesign process. About a year after that, we'll come out with a newer version that's smaller. That will allow us then a decision if we want to pursue a potential indication for potentially pulmonary embolism or other technologies to expand the field of use for our product over time. So we'll utilize the R&D aspect and design and development changes combined with potential M&A opportunities to bring technology into our bag that would allow us to be a more thoughtful competitor, a more complete provider of clot technology and reduce and thrombus reduction technology to our patients, our caregivers. We think we have a right to win in the space. The space is interesting from a growth aspect, and it's still a lot of unsettled ground, even though there are some good competitors that compete today in the space. So you'll see some of our investment going towards this space over time. Speaking about the other area that we're excited to invest in is our oncology platform and our oncology business. If you look at what AngioDynamics had coming into this current fiscal year, we have a really great ablation business. As I mentioned earlier, two basic different types of ablation that we have in our technology platform, thermal ablation and non-thermal with our IRE or NanoKnife technology. And as we entered this year, we looked towards opportunities to expand our offering to be not just an ablation leader, but to become a better oncology company. And we've done so with a couple moves we made this year. So on the right side of the slide, as you'll see today, we announced two deals earlier this year. We bought a company called BioCentury, which has a unique plug sealant product, which allows us to plug along after a biopsy to reduce the chance of a pneumothorax to that patient who's just received a lung biopsy. What's unique for us, not only is this technology compelling, we think it's a really unique technology, has room to grow with our sales force now touching it, but we're also immediately adjacent to our microwave, our Celero microwave, which is selected and chosen for many microwave procedures for lung ablation. So now we're able to talk to that oncologist or IR physician while they're giving that procedure about our biopsy sealant product and our ablation products and have a cross sell in that space. So really nice technology. And as we reported Friday, our first full quarter with this in our bag, it's hit our expectations out of the gate. We've done the integration properly of our supply chain and our quality aspects, and now we're going to focus next week. We're actually training the three sales forces that we now have in oncology, our one base AngioDynamics sales force, the two we've acquired from BioCentury and the next acquisition at Radiodyne. All three groups come together to be cross-trained and fully sell all three products next week. For us, that's important because AngioDynamics has had a U.S. sales force that numbered around 20 sales reps the last number of years. Now we have 30. So we've got a 50% increase in our sales coverage. Smaller territories, they're enabled to drive deeper relationships with the clinicians and caregivers with a wider bag of technology to offer. So we're really excited by how we can start the second half of our fiscal year, the first half of this calendar year, with this team being trained. So the second acquisition we made this year was a company called Radiodyne. Radiodyne has really unique technology, two different technology platforms that made us enthusiastic about this company. First, they have a balloon system that enables a radiation therapist to protect and stabilize organs during the radiation procedure. The balloon is a really effective stabilization tool. We think it allows the physician to deliver the radiation to the intended target while protecting unintended organs. right about the time we were finishing our M&A deal here with Radiodyne, Boston Scientific announced they were buying Augmenix just a couple of days earlier than our announcement, which we thought also showed a viable place to be. Augmenix uses a gel technology to stabilize organs. Radiodyne uses a balloon. We think the Radiodyne product is really, really well done, but it shows again the need with two good spaces offering physicians a choice. But we think the need is really relevant to stabilize and protect organs in this space. The other unique technology that Radiodyne offered is something called OraTrack, which is a real-time dosimetry monitoring system, enabling for the first time, we believe, the radiation oncologist to have real-time dosage data of where and exactly how much of the radiation is being applied to the tumor in the area in need, and to monitor the other areas that are not intended to get the radiation. So we think this putting this in the hands of clinicians is something they've been asking for, because today the alternatives are not complete as to the data they can deliver, and there also takes a 2 to 3 day lead time for the physician to get the data they're looking for. So we're excited to bring the OraTrack product to market, train our people next week. It's a unique combination, a great technology that allows a box and the probes to be sold for each procedure and each use to measure the amount of radiation. So this is our portfolio today. We're excited by the combination of technology between our current radiation, I'm sorry, our current ablation products and the new products we acquired. So today, if you look at the slide I presented in front of you today, AngioDynamics can be a much larger player in oncology as you look at a patient journey and the treatment options that they'll face depending on which organ needs care. We'd like to play a role in helping to decide how treatment's delivered, how it's treated for, and also to measure the amount of dosages of treatment during the procedure. Today, with us rounding our portfolio out, we believe we'll be a larger player and not just be someone known and trusted by interventional radiologists, but have, excuse me, many more conversations with the medical oncologists and radiation therapists who are delivering the care. So we're excited by where we are today in oncology. I want to give a brief update to our unique technology with NanoKnife. In 2011, AngioDynamics received a 510(k) to market NanoKnife in the United States. The 510(k) has a very soft indication of soft tissue ablation. It doesn't allow us to train or market the product towards care of any particular organ. We've seen data that's been published over the years by physicians globally with really compelling results when they treated people with pancreatic cancer. Pancreatic cancer, as we know, doesn't have a good standard of care today, and it's very deadly with short life expectancy post-diagnosis. So today in the U.S., 55,000 patients are diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. We'd like to be a treatment option based upon the results we've seen when a NanoKnife is used to help ablate these tumors. So we filed for a PMA process. We're expecting our IDE to be approved by the FDA soon. The good news is we received prior to the holiday break notice from the FDA that if and when our IDE is approved, we'll receive Category B reimbursement for the process as the product has shown its safety and efficacy on the market already. The Category B designation to us is important for this product because if the IDE is approved as we expect, then we'll be able to train the physicians to do the treatment. They can use a registry-based approach to deliver the care, to capture the data that they're doing, along with an RCT as well to measure the process. But for the first time, we can train physicians, they can treat patients, and they can be reimbursed for the procedure. And we think we'll collect enough compelling data to then receive the indication necessary to market the product and treat these people who need care. So we're excited by what our product will do. We're also excited at that point. We're expecting an outcome that we can talk to you about soon, that we can deliver more details to you about how the IDE will proceed. Once we do that, we'll talk to you about these other opportunities to deliver care that I put on the slide. We think we could be a player in prostate, which is almost the exact opposite argument because it's a much less acute nature of the disease, yet the side effects have tremendous issues. And we've seen physicians in Europe that have used our NanoKnife to treat a lot of situations on prostate on a cash pay basis with really good outcomes that can help some of the side effects of normal prostate treatment today. So we'll be excited to lay out more treatment to you on our plans to invest in our R&D, continued product development, and our regulatory pathways to open up more indications for this unique technology over time. So taking a look at our company's financials, on Friday we reported again our second quarter. We have a June 1 fiscal year. Our second quarter ended November 30th. So the slide in front of you today shows our first 6 months' results. Our revenue run rate, and on the right side of the slide, you'll see our guidance that we reaffirmed on Friday. So we think we'll come in just under $360 million of revenue this fiscal year. We've got a gross margin sliding upwards. We'll finish the year between 54 and 55% gross margin, which is a few hundred basis point improvement over the last couple of years, based upon our supply chain efficiencies, streamlining our work, and getting better mix of our product technology. We'll also throw off free cash at a rate this year of $26 to $31 million. I'll remind folks in the room we had a DOJ payment of nearly $13 million, that it, without that DOJ payment, our free cash flow generation is closer to a $40 million number. So I think we have a structure that a business doesn't require a lot of operating capital to reinvest in, generate a lot of free cash. And what that enables us to do is to drive the areas we want to strategically align ourselves with. As you can see from the slide available today, our available capital in the forms of our cash on hand and our revolver opportunity allows us to invest in the areas that we want to invest in. So you look at FY19 on the left, FY20 on the right, we'll generate high levels of free cash that will be the fuel really for the investments that we seek to do. We think what we've done in our first 2.5 years of this management team, taking stewardship of AngioDynamics, hopefully we've earned some credibility and trust with our investors. We know that we have with our employees, we know that we have with our customers. We hope that today more patients are being treated with our unique devices by the caregivers who deliver care that trust the quality of our products, how they're made, and the innovation that enables new kinds of care to be delivered. Now today, we're trying to show we're good stewards of capital. We use a thoughtful approach towards capital deployment. We treat our assets very carefully. But we also know to change the valuation of our company, we're going to have to change our platform and our portfolio. So over time, you'll see us make moves similar to the ones that we've done recently. We'll add new technologies that we believe we can bring in-house that will enable us to be a more vibrant competitor in these spaces we've identified. And primarily, again, those spaces are the thrombus reduction area and in oncology. There may be other parts of our portfolio that are well performing and have been historic, but maybe they won't be part of our portfolio moving on. And we'll utilize the capital and the transaction that could occur there and reinvest it properly with the operating discipline and hopefully the stewardship of capital that we've shown you and the trust of using good allocation of our capital resources to make our capital be more valuable over time. So the AngioDynamics you see in front of you today is different than the Angio you may have known in the past. We want to be, and we've started to put on points on the board, of being a well-recognized, high-performance company. We have a long way to go, but we're excited where we are in our maturation process. We think that we're an important caregiver partner, that tools like NanoKnife that can show tremendous outcomes and results are going to be an important part of how people get treated with unique devices like ours. And finally, we're going to increase our value to all three of our stakeholders. Most importantly, our customers, which you think about most often. They're our most important stakeholder. And our customers, again, come in two formats. People that buy and use our products and the people on the other end of that device that we think about every day. So one of the core things at AngioDynamics is the quality of the products that we build. The associates that build these products to a very high standard of quality. Think about that patient on the other end of that device every day. So our customers are our most important stakeholder. Our employees that drive our vision and execute our goals are extremely important to us. We've upgraded our talent over the last 2 years. We've upgraded our capability, which enables us to do this. We have a really strong culture fostered on delivering our technologies and getting into the hands of caregivers around the world. And our third important stakeholder, our investors, that deserve a fair return if we execute properly. So thank you again for joining us, and I appreciate your time today.